This is Punter's Postmortem. Want to get something off your chest? Call us on 13 53 53. SMS 0419 767 272. Or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
The Duff, Josh Fleming, Glenn Munsey, Dino. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Morning, Cozzy.
How are you, Sean?
Hey, boys.
Yeah. Morning, boys.
G'day, Sean.
Eagle Farm Saturday, if they'd finished up any wider, they could have yelled out orders to the Brecky Creek pub for a steak that night.
You've normally got to get in early on a Saturday too, so yeah, they would have had a flying start.
Well, gee, they finished up wide, didn't they?
Well, though, that wide, they've got satellite link sort of dishes that are on the roof of the public grandstand. We call from the boxes on top of the public grandstand. They've got that wide. They're running behind those dishes and they're running out of my sight for about 80 to 100 metres. So when they got on the outside fence, just as they turned for home, I had to pad for about 50 metres until I could properly see them. So, steadily as the day went on, they got wider and wider, and Where Did Sold for Song and Miss Cover Girl wind up? On the absolute outside rail. They would have been in the roses if they got any wider.
Is it come to the fact that maybe they, you know, they've rushed this track? You know, it wasn't a good look, and when you're talking Group 1 races and there's a lane out wide for horses to, you know, have the advantage, it's you know, it's probably a little bit disappointing.
Oh, no doubt. It looked like the old days at Port Macquarie before they did the track up there. Duff, the first of the ambulance tracks on the outside rail were probably the first time. And it actually gets a bit dangerous when they're all sort of, you know, rushing to get out there. And, you know, when it gets to the point that John O'Shea's looking to scratch because he drew gate one, you know, something's not right. We saw Bowman and the last ones are Richard just take hold and go straight out the back. And actually that horse did a really good job to get as close as it did. But, look, we've got some midweek meetings coming up there soon. We'll see how we go there. And look, the general consensus is we get 6-12 months down the track, you know, hopefully everything will be sweet. But obviously we've had two meetings there, and you know, it wasn't the greatest look on Saturday, unfortunately.
Was that path they were heading to, is that the area where they've been conducting gallops? Was that packed down and a bit better than what was inside?
Oh, quite possibly. They have had some gallops, and they do tend to put the witches' hats out, and they do get towards the outside. But like I saw somebody say, they really haven't tested the inside out that much. They just said, well, it's a no-go zone straight away. And you could see very early on that they wanted to get away from it. And sadly, as the day went on, they got wider and wider.
Yeah, Robbie Fradd did test the inside there at one stage, and he said the horse went for about 100 metres, 150 metres from the line. He said the horse was stuffed.
Yeah, there you go.
It couldn't get through it.
Look, we've had a few meetings up here recently where they've been putting ratings out for the track, and the general consensus is that it's been much worse than what's been made public. Ipswich Cup Day was an example. Even Gold Coast yesterday, boys, they put up a track rating, and then they had to reassess it after about race three, I think it was, to go down one rating back to where it really should have been in the first place.
Melbourne in higher track walkers for readings of tracks. Is it getting to the stage where Queensland needs a track, an independent track walker?
Yeah, that's an argument, Ronnie. And I'll read where Toby Edmonds said there's a fix where they could just put a couple of horses over the track every morning and then come out with the assessment from that point on.
Mm. Well, we put horses over the track here in Sydney, but then again, that's not always 100% correct, because the horses more often than not are hard up against the fence.
Yeah.
You know, do we have to, say, put three lots of horses over the track? Two horses, one and two, on the fence and one off the fence. Another two horses later on, five and six off the fence. And another two horses later on, eight and ten off the fence. To get a broad spectrum with the same jockeys on them to get a spectrum, get an opinion of the track in different positions.
And is it a fair reading when you're galloping horses? You know, at 6 o'clock in the morning when there's still dews on the track, things change. You know, it's hard. I don't know whether that's going to be the answer.
No. Now, look, I mean, at the end of the day, boys, it's not the first time we've seen a track during a major carnival play, you know, not perfectly. We saw Derby Day in Melbourne, of course, and Cox Plate Day at Moonee Valley. So, look, it's not the first track, to have a big day where we've looked back the next day and said, oh, you know, that wasn't perfect. It could have raced better. So let's just hope, you know, the route system has some time to grow and develop, and we get a bit further down the track and we'll be okay.
Do you reckon they may have been better off holding off another month or two and say, wait till the weather's better, we get growth back in the grass, the whole lot, and let this thing establish properly?
Well, who knows? That could be easy to say now after we've had two meetings on it, I suppose. But, I guess only time will tell. We get to the next meeting, which admittedly is only a midweek meeting. We don't have the Group 1s there on that day. But, like I say, a lot of people have come out and said, look, you know, give it time. This will be a great track. Let's hope they're right.
Well, what is the difference? Josh, you raised the point about Port Macquarie. They raved about Port Macquarie the other day. Why are we rebuilding tracks and everyone wants to rebuild a track in a different way?
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't there a stock standard template that's used, or has it got to do with, you know, where the track is as to
climate.
You know, what climate and the grass and everything like that? But, you know, the track looks beautiful, but why is it that the inside is such a no-go zone? Is that because of the camber, the you know, the percentage of the camber? Is everything sort of running back towards the inside?
Yeah, look, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that, to be totally honest. Yeah, look, they knew, didn't they, Ronnie, on Saturday, the jockeys straight away. Race one, you could see they were getting out wide and swooping, and then nothing made ground in race two. And then from that point on, if you drew inside, you just didn't want to be there. And it made it very hard for a horse like Zar Ritzer and obviously for Mogador as well.
Yeah, that's look, we will put up with that. It's two meetings. It's I think we should be a little bit lenient on them and just see what happens, unfolds over the last, over the next, you know, 3 or 4 months.
Well, Dino, they've done work on both Caulfield and Flemington in Melbourne. The straight at Flemington can be a flip of the coin where they go, can't it?
Yeah, usually down the outsides or the centre, Sean. But, yeah, look, those tracks drain very well. But, again, on Saturday we saw it, Flemington didn't want to be on the rail. And whether it's a lot to do with the excess of camber in the modern tracks, I don't know if that's got a lot to do with it. We seem, you know, very keen on putting camber in these tracks and makes them maybe the inside goes off a bit quicker. I'm not sure.
What was the feedback from trainers, Josh? Were they keen to come back? I mean, Group 1 day, you want to be there to get the money. Were they looking and saying, next meeting, we'll just bypass this and go to another race or not?
I don't think so. I know Chris Waller's come out and said, and I know a few people have said basically the same thing, that to give it 6-12 months, we'll have a great track. And look, at the end of that, I don't think anyone thought it was going to be absolutely perfect. You know, look, it's a brand new track that hadn't been raced on for 22 months. Look, the weather was not ideal. Obviously, we had the heavy rain and what was supposed to be Oaks Day. I you know, they've come out and said from the race club that we've still got plenty of confidence in the track, and what more can we say? Let's just hope 6-12 months down the track that you know, what we saw on Saturday is an ancient memory, and everything will be okay.
Well, the Sky Racing Tats Tiara, Kelly Sweeter, decided to go to Rocky. What not quite a two-state double, but a long-distance double.
Well, he pulled the right rein. He won the Rocky Cup as well with Ruling Force. And, Miss Cover Girl, she was a bit too good, edging away late to win the Tiara. And Damien Brown, he's had a good end of the carnival with a winning double at Ipswich and winning the Cup there and now taking the Group 1 with the Tiara.
I'll tell you what, it made punters back Ruling Force in the Rocky Cup as soon as Greg Radley made note of the fact that Kelly was at Rocky to watch it go around. I think it was $4.80 to $3.40 or something in the last 20 minutes of betting. And the majority of people around the country wouldn't have known Ruling Force or Kelly Sweeter was in Rockhampton. So thanks a lot, Greg, for that. That was great.
Dino and Duff, Damien Brown, is he a jockey who perhaps doesn't get sometimes the credit he should? I mean, he's ridden with success overseas. He's been the go-to man for the Snowdens at times. They'll pop him on. He's probably underrated in some ways.
Oh, yeah, look, I think everyone realises he's a big-time performer now. Well, obviously, Buffering's put him on the big stage, and I think, you know, obviously Peter Snowden and the Hawks boys have used him in the past in high-profile races. He's just so cool. He's cool, calm, collected. Nothing fazes him. He's a very good jockey. There's no doubt about it. That was a lovely ride on the Miss Cover Girl. It was economical. He just rode the track and just got out to be the widest runner and travelling at the right time, peeled off her back, and it was just pretty to watch. He's a terrific rider.
Yeah, no, he is. And I think the fact that we speak about him here most weeks over the carnival suggests that he's not underrated at all. He's a beauty.
What were your thoughts on Ascadelia?
I thought the slow start was costly for her, but she chimed in. Tactically, he made all the right moves. They didn't go a million mile an hour. I thought there was a lot of merit in the performance. She bounced back, if you want to say that. She was beaten, but she wasn't disgraced. You know, the jury was out on her Stradbroke run, but I thought she put in and produced a really, really good performance there considering the circumstances. Mm.
So what do we do with the form out of this meeting? Do we just throw it straight in the rubbish bin?
Yep. I'm guarded with it.
Yeah, you know, you had a horse like Danish Twist in the Sky Racing Tats Tiara there that had come off winner four wins in a row. graduated from the country championship to winning that race the other day, and she went there. And, you know, Huey Bowman told the owners, he said, well, you know, basically just totally forget it went round.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, there's a lot of forgivable. You know, you could say a great percentage of the horses beaten had excuses on the day. It's as simple as that.
And you know, some of the horses that had acted on the track on Stradbroke Day came out on Saturday and went terrible.
Amazing, isn't it? You would have thought, okay, here's your edge. These horses have had a go at the track and performed on it. They should. We know what to expect. They're gonna put in, and it didn't happen.
Now, Mossman, what a great old sire he's been. He sired into the red, came out and won the Healy Stakes. He sires Golden Slipper winners. He's just been one of those wonderful sires, hasn't he?
Oh, he's a terrific sire. He's a good sire of horses in the wet as well. So, he's proven he's a good sire.
Luke Dittman, good effort, Duff. He's a tall boy, but he does a good job with his weight and he rides well.
He certainly does. He got the Group 3 win there on Saturday, and another one, you know, they're set up beautifully by Kelso, third up in the right race, a little soft Group 3 at the end of the carnival, and I thought he beat a very brave Saluter there, who was first up for a long time, and they were the two that just found the ground. You know, what can we say? It's one of these meetings where you know we're looking at horses that are 8 and 9 lengths back.
Are they the sort of horses that are ideal now to come to Grafton for the Ramorny?
Yeah, that's where he's going into the red.
The timing's perfect for a horse like him, and I would have thought a horse like maybe.
I think even Rock Royalty's going to come back to Grafton after speaking to the Walker boys who own Rock Royalty after the race on Saturday. They're looking at Grafton as well.
I'd like to see Toucan Chew go for the cup personally. I think he'll get in on the limit, and he'd run well in a race like the Grafton Cup. He was only third up there on Saturday. I thought he showed good fight and a bit of killer instinct about him. I thought he fought on well.
Dino, not a huge amount of Victorian interest in that meeting.
No, it was mainly the Tats Tiara, wasn't it, with Azcadelia, and she ran very well. But no, there wasn't a lot of interest there, that's for sure.
What'd you make of our good-looking horse from Sydney, Spieth at Flemington?
He's a beauty. We saw him down here in the spring. He's filled out a lot since saw him back on Guinea's Prelude Day, and he's got the winning habit now. He got it in a bit of an awkward spot at about the 400, but his class shone through, and I hope he comes back in 2 weeks and wins the final of that series and then sets himself up for the spring.
Was that Craig Williams, you think, Dino, educating him in that spot he was in, or he just finished in that spot?
Oh, I don't think it was ideal. I think it was the second horse came out and just was looking for a bit better ground, he just got a little bit lost having to, you know, change leg and get across heels. And once he did and worked it out, he was fine. But I don't know if he necessarily wanted to be there.
I don't know if the punters would have been happy with him educating him there about the 300.
Well, we watched the race together, Ronnie and I, and Ronnie's saying, yeah, he's going all right. Now, this will test him. This will test him. And then when he sort of flattened out, Ronnie said, sweet. And he was about a neck off the lead at that stage. And you could just see he was just ready to let go and just blow him away the last little bit.
Yeah. No, he was very good.
What else caught your eye at Flemington, Dean? Anything in particular?
No, he was the absolute standout of the day. There was some honest performances amongst some of the other winners on the program, but Spieth was the talking point of the day. We wanted to see him come and win because we had seen him race down here, as I said previously, and won his maiden, and he got the job done well. I thought the effort in the staying race of Master of Arts, so there was a bit of a doubt over him running a trip. Well, I think he put that to bed on Saturday. He really ran to the line well, and he can probably win the final of the Stayers series in 2 weeks' time.
Odyssey Moon's become a winner now. He's put two together.
Yeah, he's always been rock solid, hasn't he, Ronnie? Yeah. But not finding the line. Saturday, he was in a bit of an awkward spot too for him because he seems to be a horse that likes to build his speed and then just tough it out. And he had to actually really sprint it about the 200-metre mark, and sprint he did. He really quickened down well, and it was a good win. And he's got a few options in the final series in a couple of weeks, and he set up well.
I'm sure the connections were happy they missed the plane when they looked at a few races at Eagle Farm,
considering
he was going to be in the second last.
Yep, exactly right. And that was the right race for him on Saturday at Flemington.
Yeah, boys, we talk about tracks and everything. A bit proactive. The Victorian stewards, they're giving track conditions for Caulfield on Saturday already.
On Twitter before nominations.
Yeah, just in case you needed to know what the track will be like Saturday before you nominate.
You'd be guaranteed it'd be that too, wouldn't you? Hey? Was it Doris Stokes doing the rating?
No.
The weather never changes there either, does it?
No. It's always the same. All consistent all through the week. It's a soft six anyway.
You can't win if you put out ratings 5 days out. At least they're knowing what the thought process is, where the rail's going to be.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm all for it.
All right. Good to see Winona Costin back in action on Saturday. Great to see her get a win too. She's had a bit of a rough trot with injuries there.
Yeah, I reckon. Look, she had, what did she have, two falls or three falls in a row, and then she cut her leg badly, which had to be operated on twice, and her first ride back's a winner. She's a trooper, I'll tell you. She's as tough as nails, that Winona, and a good little rider, and great to see her get her confidence back with her first ride back.
Beautiful ride. Just sat in behind, peeled out the last bit, and bang, it was all over.
Yep. She's come back, and the timing was perfect. There's no doubt about that, and hopefully she can build on that over the next couple of weeks. I don't think she's got much time left in her apprenticeship, and I don't think she's got many winners till she outrides her claim. So I'd love to see her do that. Mm.
I think she's got 10.
10, has she? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she turned 21, I think, a few months ago. So she's obviously got a little bit to go, but not, as you said, not too much stuff. Anything else catch your eye at the meeting?
Like, I think he's a star. I've been burnt by following winter form in the past, but I think this Russian Revolution's a pretty good horse. He looks the part. He was asked to go a little bit early there, and he delivered the goods. He won on protest at his first start. There's just something about this horse that you have to like, and I think he may be a sneaky spring prospect.
2-year-old by Schnitzel out of an American mare.
Yeah, they paid a bit of money for him, so he's a good sort, but I think he's going to deliver. I really do.
All right, there. She's actually a Stravinsky mare.
Yep. Yep.
So, obviously, he's handled things very well. Josh, from your meeting in Queensland, what was the one that you put down to at the Black Book, or was there much that stood out?
There were probably quite a few hard luck tales. I think that's the thing to come out of the last two Eagle Farm meetings. And, where Glenn raised the point before, what do we do with the form going ahead? I'm sure we're going to look back and, just see so many horses that you just have forgive runs next to their name. You know what I mean? You could go through and name so many that had no luck, depending on where they drew and how the track played.
All right, now we'll take a break and take calls. 13 53 53. If you want to talk to the boys, find out about anything from the weekend or any of the horses, whatever. 13 53 53. You can call right now. Got callers here. Graham's calling now. Morning, Graham.
Yeah, look, I'm just trying to find out Dean Yandel. I haven't seen him on board any rides in the last week and a half, 2 weeks. What's the mail on him? I can't seem to find out what's going on.
I think he's just on a break. I think he's taking a break. I don't think he's got any injuries, but I'll check that up. But I'm pretty sure he's just on a holiday.
He had that rib injury and he did come back. But I've been trying to follow him and see where he's at. But there was nothing around to sort of say what's going on. Like you said, it's probably a break. Yeah.
He rode at the Swan Hill Carnival. That last one. That's the last ride he had. He rode a winner there for Matthew Williams.
Yeah.
It's that time of year. That time of year where a lot of jockeys take that 2 weeks off. I think Bowman's taken 2 weeks. Tommy Berry's, who rode another four winners over the weekend in Japan, he takes a week or two off. So they all freshen up at this time of year, just with that little gap between in July.
Yeah, I think that you'll find there's quite a few jockeys at the moment that actually take this time of year off. You know, they may even, give up the last day of the carnival or just to, they have that break. And Jimmy Cassidy used to do it all the time. Never used to ride through the middle of winter, and that was just his, standard pattern every year.
All right, good on you, Graham. Now, Robbo joins us. Robbo, good morning.
Ben,
what can we do for you?
I mentioned this some time ago. This time of year, racing goes into a sort of a hiatus, if you like. But I honestly think this is a great time to rest our city tracks on an alternative basis and use the provincial tracks. In other words, have a Gosford meeting on a Saturday, then revert back the following week to Rose Hill, then the following one, say, go to Wyong, then go to Randwick, then go to Pemmler Grange, in some sort of logical order. But, the benefits are good for both provincial tracks and the city tracks getting a rest. That you're not degrading the racing because it's the same standard of horses running around. It's not our top liners at this time of the year. And I just think it makes sense to me to give our city tracks a rest, and so we can present them good for when the spring meeting carnivals come up.
Yeah, look, you make a lot of sense, but this business is generated by turnover, and history says that punters like to bet at Randwick and Rose Hill, and that's where the biggest turnover is. They're creatures of habit. But, Robbo, I think there's merit in your suggestion as far as giving... tracks need a rest. It's as simple as that. We can't just grind them into the ground, and especially when it's raining.
And you've got to realise in Sydney we're one track down and have been one track down for over 12 months, and it's going to be another 12 months before we get back to where we were.
Well, I've never seen an issue at Canterbury, and there was last week. What happened there, Glenn?
What had happened, the rail had gone out. You know, they'd had a couple of meetings there, and the rail went out 2 metres, I think, from the previous meeting there. Might have went out to 4 or 6. And there was just a couple of patches where the horses had just ripped that little bit extra out of the ground. So therefore, there was a larger than normal holes or indents in the track. And the Sammy Clipperton's horse, you know, stumbled coming to the turn. So Huey Bowman, Kieran McAvoy and Tommy Berry walked out after the second last. And that you know, when you consider that they're walking out, you know, just before the last race. So it wasn't a major issue that had been happening all throughout the day. And, you know, they said, righto, well, when you get to that point, just come away from the inside, because there are a couple of patches there that are a little bit rough. Well, Tommy Berry said, now, boys, you're listening there? No, I don't know whether Tommy said this, but, you know, if you get away from the inside. Tommy stuck hard against the fence. Made about 5 lengths in that point of ground, and Jason Collard, who sat behind him, stayed right behind Tommy. They ran 1-2 in the last.
Well, it's still wear and tear, isn't
it? Yeah, that's all it is. And, you know, Greg Carmody said, look, he didn't think there was anything underward. It's just a little bit of wear and tear in one particular spot on the track there at Canterbury. But, you know, let's get back to tracks and everything like that. I've just had a gentleman ask me on Twitter here, why do we need camber on tracks? Well, you need camber on tracks to give the horses that are coming wide their chance to run on. If it's a flat track, you can't sit wide and make ground. But what is the ideal degree of camber? Do we, you know, anyone ever done a study of that? It's not a velodrome.
Well, camber with rain doesn't sit, because camber, when you've got a camber track, the last place drying out is the lower bit of the camber. The higher ground dries first, and that's a simple fact.
All right, good on you, Robbo. Sean joins us now from Kingswood. Morning, Sean.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Hi, good. Sean.
I've got a question for Dino. What do you think happens now with Speed Harvest? We win on the weekend. Pretty good win, I think.
Yeah, I think I heard Bryce Hayes mention that he might come back for the final of that three-year-old series in 2 weeks. Other than that, he'd have a break and then get ready for the spring. And, I think he'll win a big race over spring. If the timing's right, he could win a big feature handicap on a lightweight.
No worries. Just one more. You guys here on the weekend that... I think Zono saying want to scratch a horse for the Drew Barrier 1 at Eagle Farm on the weekend. You hear that?
He wanted to scratch Mogador that at Drew Barrier 1 on Saturday, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Have you guys heard that happen before? I know wide barriers, but not at Barrier 1, even though the track's not the greatest at the moment. But,
well, you know. he was desperate to the track to be downgraded, because the stewards aren't going to let you scratch because of where it draws, because the barrier draws have been out for 5 days. Yeah. But your only chance of scratching after 7:30 in the morning is a track downgrade or a track upgrade, because the conditions have actually changed. He was saying that, well, in his opinion, the conditions had changed in the fact that the inside, you couldn't win being on the inside. So therefore, the horse was going to be disadvantaged by barrier one. But the steward said, well, you know, that's not a concern. There's no change in the actual track conditions to enable you to scratch it. If they would have let him scratch from barrier one, you know, that opens up a Pandora's box. We could get back to the stage where we have horses drawing a barrier and then having a spare one next to them, as we did a few years ago with Black Caviar.
I saw in the stewards report that Gay Waterhouse, who rarely scratches a horse, was denied permission to scratch Echo Gal as well. So and that was before scratchings, because in Queensland they have a rule, I think, in Group 1 races where you can't scratch...
It might only be a vet certificate.
Only on a vet certificate. Yeah. So she didn't give an explanation that suited them.
All right, good on you, Sean. Pete, hang on there. Phil at the Shire. Good morning, Phil. What can we do for you?
Good morning, guys. I just want to mention the run of Amarada over the last 2 weekends. It's been a real gutsy sort of horse for the champion and the Tab Rewards Club there. She's really gone well with Sammy on her back, Sammy Clipperton, after a couple of poor runs, and they're going to turn her out now and give her a rest. They'll be watching out for her when she comes back. But she's just a horse that doesn't have a real great turn of foot, I think the saying is, but she just she's just a tough sort of mare. I'm more than happy to be involved there.
Yeah, look, she's bounced back, hasn't she, Phil? She was good 2 weeks ago and then backed it up and over-raced a little bit there on Saturday. But she, like you said, she lacks a turn of speed, but she keeps grinding away at it. So you'll have a bit of fun with the next preparation.
Yeah, do you think she'll get a lot more than that was a mile, so 1600. You think from that you can see much more distance in her?
Well, hopefully if she relaxes a little bit better. I think you got the right man there to work that out, Joe Pride. Yeah. He'll sort her out. He gets into his horse's mind and fiddles around with their distances and their gear and whatever. So he'll sort that out for you.
All right. One last thing: the price of a soft drink out at the racetrack. Like I'm a massive beer drinker, and who knows that. But I buy a fella called Adam Richardson a can of Pepsi Max nearly every time I'm out there. Adam the ex-footballer, they charge $4.50 for a can of soft drink. What the heck is that all about? Anyone know?
No, I'm not in. That's not my department.
I'm a savage Pepsi Max man, and I'd be arcing up if it was $4.50 a can. I know that.
Yeah, well, listen to Racing New South Wales. Have a look at it, because it's a pretty over the odds, as they say.
Well, it's not a Racing New South Wales issue. It's an ATC issue because it's their racetrack.
All right, no worries, mate.
Good on you, Phil.
Listen up.
Good on you, mate. Thanks, Phil. Head to Coffs Harbour now. Peter's there. Morning, Peter. At Coffs, Peter. Yep.
Just wondering how long the Racing New South Wales is going to go with this trial on the high weighting of horses. I haven't heard one trainer yet praised the system, and it was, I believe, brought in to raise the numbers in fields, and I don't think it makes any difference. There was a few weeks ago a meeting that had very few starters in each race. I just wonder how long we're going to put up with the trial. Greg Bennett the other day said that good horses are refusing to stretch out because of the high weights. I just wonder when they're going to finish the trial.
Yeah, I think I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think it's far off. Might be the end of the end of the season, end of July maybe, I'm guessing. But maybe someone can tell us, because it was a trial, and there was a review date after the trial. So hopefully we can find out for you, Peter. But I agree. I don't know whether the trainers are really up in the air about it. I haven't heard too much positivity about it.
Yeah, Greg was very critical. He had a runner in the Benchmark 60 at Beaumont track on Thursday, local hero, and he said, well, it had 63 kilos, and the minimum, I think, was, just looking down here, well, the minimum was 54. He said, well, the horse he complained about his own still managed to win, which tends to happen a lot when trainers complain about the weights they're given. But, you know, they're just talking about, you know, why do we have to have the top weight at 63, for example? Why can't it be, you know, 60? And, you know, and the bottom weight, you know, still be 54 and compress them that way. But, you know, I don't know. I can't. I'm still trying to work out the benchmark system, yeah, let alone anything else.
I think the limit's got to go back to 53. Honestly, I know it's tough on the jockeys, and we haven't got a lot of lightweight jockeys, but we've got races now that, you know, we put three-year-olds in, they get 53. If you're going to have a minimum, have it across the board.
Well, you go the other way with big weights, and the jockeys can't get a ride because the apprentices are taking all the rides on the horses at the top.
That's okay then. Yeah. You've got to look after your lightweight jockeys as well, or you'll never have any more.
Good on you, Pete. Appreciate your call. Rob's joining us now from Cessnock. Morning, Rob.
Morning, boys.
Hey, Rob.
I think it's official now that New South Wales stewards are being told they can't uphold a protest on the whip rule. If you look at Coffs Harbour on Friday, the horse got beat a short half head, which is the absolute bare minimum, and the jockey that rode the second horse hit his horse 12 times before the 100, which is more than two times the limit, and also hit it in consecutive strides on three times, and they still didn't uphold the protest. What do you reckon?
Yeah, that was the boy that had his first ride in the race.
Eric Chung.
And he managed to get suspended. Whether or not they had a little bit of compassion for him, because it was his first ride in a race. But you know,
he was aggressive for his first ride, I tell you.
I reckon you should be talking to Gordon York what the instructions were.
I reckon we should check his birth certificate. He might have been a jockey in a previous life, that bloke.
All I'll say is I did talk to Yorkie and I'm saying nothing.
But, yeah, you know, if you said that the rules are there to be adhered to and upheld, not a pun on the protest, but and there you have a situation where everything is stated in black and white after the race, and yet they didn't do it.
And the worst part is, like, you're saying it's your first ride, trying to teach a kid a lesson by giving him a week suspension and a $500 fine, but in the next race, he broke exactly the same rule, he hit it more times than he should have, and he also hit it in consecutive strides again. And because the stewards' report's not up on Racing New South Wales yet, I don't know why it's not up, but in the last race, he did the same thing again. Mm. So how are you teaching the kid the right thing to do? You have to start upholding the protest, because now they've let this one go. If they were ever going to uphold one, it had to be this one. Now they've let it go, it's just open slather. Everyone knows now that no protest in New South Wales will ever be upheld. And what about the poor bloke with the second horse? Like, he rides within the rules. There's no way he would have got better. Well, Ronnie, you've rode horses. Why did you hit him with the whip? Did you hit him with the whip because you wanted to go slower, or you thought it might make him go faster?
Yeah, look, I know where you're coming from, and I'm a little bit... The rule is strange because you're right. If they're not going to act on the rule, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Otherwise, it's going to be open to scrutiny all the time. Look, there's more talks going on about this whip rule at the moment. To tell you the truth, I did see that race because it was on Twitter and I had a good look at it. But I didn't go on and look at his next few rides, that young Mick lad. So obviously he needs a bit of counselling.
And as you said, there is a lot of talk at the moment about the whip rule. A lot of people not happy with the restriction on it. And there have been suggestions, I think, that the fines are according to how many extra times you hit them or whatever, you know, before the post. But I think the bottom line, though, Rob and Ron, you're not going to give a horse a hiding. No. For a start, you're not going to do it. And secondly, if it's not fine anything, you're not going to. It won't make a difference.
And look, I don't want to be the steward there judging on, oh, that horse, you know, finds half a length through the whip, or it finds a nose, or it goes backwards, or it doesn't react. You know, who wants to judge on that sort of thing? I'm sure I wouldn't. You know, it's a personal opinion.
Sean's calling. Sean, you're wondering why the race caller's not in line with the winning post.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why. Why the race caller and the camera aren't on the winning post? I've always been curious. Because
there you go, Josh.
Yeah, I'm very curious about it as well. Look, where I'm sitting right now at the Sunshine Coast is just about the best track to call at, because we call right on the line here. Doomben, we're on the line. Eagle Farm, we're a little bit before it. Look, every track's got its some subtle differences. There's some very tricky tracks around. Ipswich is diabolical because we're about 30 metres past the line. We try and get a bit, clibby there and try and call a finish off the TV there if we can. But, it's a common gripe, I suppose, from race caller's perspective. Hawkesbury was always a trap because we were calling well past the line, whereas the camera was before the line. Every track's got their pros and cons. Calandra is one of the best to operate at, and Doomben's good as well. Eagle Farm, for example, we're a bit before the line, but it'd certainly make our life a lot easier if every track could be the same as here, that's for sure.
Yeah. I was just wondering, I can send an email from here to London in half a second. Mm. Why can't the photo finish come up sort of almost instantaneous, so we know what the result is, rather than having to wait, you know, a minute to see the photo finish?
Yeah, some of the judges, as far as the numbers coming up on the board, they do it a bit differently, different tracks. Sometimes they'll come up individually, number by number, and therefore they'll come up a little bit quicker. Gold Coast, for example, I noticed yesterday there was a photo on the first race, and they must go through and type in all five numbers on their computer and then make it come up on the screen. So in a case like that, it took a lot longer for that number to come up. I don't know why they operate like that there, but they do it differently at other tracks. And that shutter cam, for example, that comes up on Sky, that is tends to be a good guy, but it's not official. I know we had that case with the Ipswich photo on Cup Day where I think most people probably thought it was a dead heat at least. Some even thought that Zilke's horse had won on the outside, but the photo obviously went the other way. So it is a good indication, but it's not official, of course.
One last thing, is there any chance that the Australian race, you could go down the Singapore Racing Way, where the all the numbers are on the screen down the bottom.
Now that's the tracker system.
Mm.
Well, they are actually operating at the moment, but they haven't
Everyone loves the Singapore one.
Yeah, but they call them chicklets. They're chicklets on the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
To show you where the horses are. Well,
it's fantastic. Everyone loves it.
Well, they've all got the chips in the back of the saddle cloths at the moment. It's just a matter of, you know, transferring that technology to television.
Yeah, brilliant. All right, thanks.
Good on you, Sean.
Time, boys.
Thanks
Sean.
Now, Jeff is calling, and good morning, Jeff. What can we do for you?
How you going, Sean?
Good. What can we do for you?
Just ask Duff, what do you thought about the ride of Sam Clipperton on the first of Dark Eyes in Sydney?
Not much went right there. It was the instructions were there'd be more forward in the run. He missed the start. He went for a narrow run. He got checked, which is run of the race stuff. It can happen. But he just he dead set throttled down from there on in. So as far as the ride concerned, it was a ride that nothing went right once he got the slow start. But I thought he throttled down a bit early there once the damage was done and looked after him. It's one of the best lasts you'll ever see, but beaten seven lengths, it could have been within, you know, three, really.
I just thought he, you know, six-horse field, he could have come around a lot earlier on the outside there, the length of the Randwick Straight.
Yeah, that's enough.
I thought he just murdered it a bit.
Yeah, he committed himself to the middle looking for, anticipating a run. It didn't happen. But I still think he throttled down a little bit, you know, dirty on himself or whatever the last 200 metres.
One to follow, you reckon, Duff?
Be hard to beat next time. Be hard to beat next time.
Right, mate. Thanks for that.
Good on you, Jeff. Thanks there. Actually, getting back to the photo finish, Josh, another thing I'll tell you with some of the judges too, if it's a very tight photo and there's literally a lip in it, they do want to get get the image blown up and get it to make sure it's absolutely spot on so there's no risk of any mistakes made too.
Oh, look, that's right. Look, with modern technology, the numbers do tend to come up very quickly. Like sometimes I call the race, particularly with a big field, by the time you've called the last horse, you look down and just about all the numbers are up on the board, and other times they're a little bit longer in coming up. It's interesting, like I say, at the Gold Coast yesterday, they obviously put all four or five numbers in and then hit enter, and then they all come up at once, whereas other tracks, they sort of come up individually, 1, 2, 3, 4, and that basically means they come up quicker, and certainly in the case of a close photo, the number comes up more or less straight away, unless it is very, very close, where obviously they've got to, they don't get the magnifying glass out as such these days, but yeah, they can obviously zoom in on the image on the computer and then try and find a margin there.
Actually, a funny point, Josh. You're saying one of the gentlemen earlier on asking about the callers being on the line. At Warwick many years ago in Queensland, there was a tree between the broadcast box and the track, and in spring when the tree grew, you were calling through the tree.
Brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. Look, there's plenty of tricks and traps in the game. There's no doubt about that. I've never called a race at Gilgandra, but that TV angle yesterday was about the worst I've seen. It looks like it's about 30 or 40 metres past the line. I don't know where Collie's calling at there. He might be calling on the line. I'm not sure, but the camera angle there is very, very ordinary. Look, like I was saying before, every track's got their pros and cons strictly from our perspective calling. Obviously, the judge has to be on the line wherever the track is. The judge is always on the line, that's obvious. But there's some tracks that are well designed where the callers basically on the line are very close, but others that are not as well designed where they're on a pretty tricky angle.
So at Eagle Farm, if it's coming down to a really close finish, you're 30 minutes before the post. Do you try and line the angle up yourself, or do you have a little glance at the monitor and have a go from there?
I've only done the two meetings there. Of course, Ronnie hadn't. I'd never called a four meeting there until Stradbroke Day. Probably the two closest ones we've had were the Stradbroke, where it was a short head, and into the reds, a photo was a half head there on Saturday, and thankfully I got them both right, and both the horse on the outside both won. Because we're a little bit back from the track, even though we are a bit before the line, the angle's actually not that bad. I mean, you probably could try and pinch a look at the big screen. The TV monitors that I've got in the box are not live. There's probably a little delay there because it's on Sky One, so you've got that 3 to 4 second delay. So you'd sort of struggle to rely on that because you'd be making it sound like you're calling on delay, I suppose.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of people are watching. They've got the white line as well on the screen, which is a massive help to the viewer, and I think that's great. But obviously, for us calling, we don't have that white line there on the track, but on the TV, the line's superimposed on there, and it's very good for the viewer.
All right, horses to follow. Josh, thanks for everything through the Winter Carnival. What can we label from you to follow?
Look, there's a horse up here that's flying at the midweekers, and I think Dino would have seen it. Well, he would have seen it in Victoria horse called Irish Constabulary, trained by John Simons and Sheila Laxon. He's been having a great time up here. This horse, he's won three from his last four at the midweekers. Now that the carnival's just about over, he'll go to a Saturday race and be very hard to beat.
Ronnie?
Look, I'd like to see Toucan Chew go under one of these cups at the end of the winter here, and I think Russian Revolution might be a really, really nice horse for the future.
Dino?
Sean, I thought a horse that was beaten on Saturday was well in the betting called Award of Merit. Just came back to 1600. I don't think it suited him. I think 1800 or 2000, he'll win next start.
Munns would have.
Oh, Dino, you might be able to help me. Is it true that Dennis Daffy bought a horse and it's called Duck Dynasty?
It is very true. He paid 40 grand for it.
Yeah, but you've got to follow that. Daffy Duck.
All right.
And, boys, there's an extra meeting at Gunnedah this Saturday with the races called off today. Racing New South Wales have programmed an extra meeting for this Saturday. NOMS close tomorrow. And it's a TAB meeting.
Duff and Munns, you're both going to have a bit of a holiday now. Go and put the nose bag on and go out in the paddock.
Yep.
only 1 week, Sean. Yeah. I'll be back in I'll be 1 week off.
What about you, Duff? How long before we have you back on work?
2018.
I'll see you in August.
late August.
No. All right, I'll see you later.
You'll come back. You'll need clipping, worming and botting, I reckon, Duff, when we get you back.
Arrivederci, Roma.
Yeah.
All right, mate.
Ciao.
Have a good week. And Paul Joyce and Dean Lester will be with me next week on Punters Postmortem.